You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Well, I've sure enjoyed being here and eating, picking, singing. I'm sure glad y'all can't smell my breath, and I'm sure glad I can't smell yours. So, hey, this is a song that says what you can do to stay out of white. You can stand on the rock, and the rock is Jesus. I started out to win this race, to serve the Lord and to look upon His face. But the way's been long and the way's been rough. But there's one thing for sure, I've got my mind made up. I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through the lonely valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, when the devil comes a-knocking, showing me an easy way, I stand right square on my feet, I throw my head in the air, I look you straight in the eye, I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Now the devil's gonna tempt you and pull you away with strife. Make you sick in body, even try to take your life. But put your trust in Jesus. Just say, Lord, I've had enough of that stuff. The Lord will say, move on. Satan, he's got his mind made up. I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through the lonely valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, when the devil comes a-knocking, showing me an easy way, I stand right square on my feet, I throw my head in the air, I look him straight in the eye, I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I stand right square on my feet, I throw my head in the air, I look him straight in the eye, I say my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Thank y'all so much.
If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. If you don't, would like to have one, hold your hand up and we'll get you one. While they're doing that, and you're getting 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to talk to you tonight about foolishness. Everybody in here ought to be fairly familiar with that. Paul... when I mention Odessa being the type of town it is, Odessa reminds me of somewhat of Corinth in the Bible. Paul and his trips had been to Athens, and Athens was a city of learning. That's where the philosophers went, the educated people, and discussed and contemplated their navel and stuff like that. They were just brilliant people, they thought. And when Paul left Athens, and in fact, he didn't stay there very long. And then he went to Corinth. Corinth was not a city of learning, it was a city of license. Anything went in Corinth. It was a port town. It was kind of like Houston or Miami, where people came all races, all nationalities, all religions, all kind of problems going on, everything in the world, all kind of sin. And Paul spent a lot of time, I wrote them two letters, won a lot of people to the Lord. I got to thinking about that. He won more people to the Lord there than he did in Athens, which was supposed to be this nice, educated town. I've noticed something over the years, and I just got from a personal experience looking back over it. But it seems that sometime the wilder somebody is, the better saint they make when they get saved. I've used this guy so many times that some of you are very familiar with him, but in the first Bible class I ever did in the Big Spring Federal Prison was one guy by the name of Terry Reed, who was the largest drug bust in the history of Seattle, Washington, between $20 and $40 million worth of powdered cocaine. Terry still holds that record. But Terry got saved in Segalville. They shipped him to Big Spring. And Terry never missed a Bible class. When Terry got out of prison, he went back to Seattle and bussed tables in a restaurant he used to own and started a prison ministry. And here's a guy that came from all kinds of money to down to nothing, but has done a fantastic job. Another guy that showed up was probably the best Bible student I ever met, period, bar none. His name was Tomas Reyes from Puerto Rico. Tomas was an atheist and a card-carrying communist when they put him in prison in New York. Sent him to Big Spring after he got saved. Tomas was a tremendous Bible student. Had been such a harsh, hard guy. And when I met him, he was such a soft-spoken guy. Time and again, I've had people, one of the guys that helped start this program, his mother kept telling me he was going to get paroled over here at La Mesa. And I was talking to the chaplain, and I said, so-and-so's mama said, or Steve's, well, y'all met him, so I said, Steve's mama said he's going to get paroled. And the chaplain said, Stephen is not about to get paroled. And I said, is that right? He said, the rule of thumb today is if you got a major case within the last 12 months, you get set off. He said, Stephen's got 22 major cases in the last 24 months. He was averaging nearly one a month. Then something unusual got saved, happened. Stephen got saved. And he did a U-turn. And he went from being the tap man at the Smith unit to one of the leaders in the chapel. And he started taking plumbing. Paroled out here to Odessa because his mother relocated here. And he did 8 flat over. Paroled out to here. Started going to church with his mother. Met a little girl, school teacher. They got married. At the same time, he was going to night classes, try to get his plumbing, master plumber's license. And today, not only does he have his master plumber's license, he's got his own plumbing company and working 5 to 10 men as I speak, doing well. I remember one time I got to see an old man who was 72 years old who'd molested some of his own children. Bow his head and ask Jesus to come into his life. And he lived in a harsh place. Chickens were running in and out of the screen door. It was not a nice place. But because of that old gentleman, he brought his entire family to Christ. Been as mean and as tough as he could be. Remember an old truck driver that cussed every other breath, who fell down on his knees and asked Jesus to save him. I remember out here at the county jail, James Pace, he served 50 years. We knelt down and at the bean hole, we prayed and James asked Jesus Christ to come in his life. And 2 weeks later is when they get him with that sentence. And I hear it on the radio. Walk in, Linda said, you ought to go. Maybe you ought to go check on James. Said I know his family and him is going to be broken. In fact, James made bond. And the first place he showed up was church. And come to our Bible study. And kept coming. Every time the door was open, James was there. And I sent word from bring him up to meet him in the law library. And I'm standing out there talking to one of the officers. Look up, here comes James. James is a big man, weighed about 240. He comes walking up, big grin across his face. And he said, what are you doing out here at this time? And I said, well, James, I heard about what happened. I just wanted to see if you was all right. And he said, Leland, I'm trying my best. Hate the DA, but God won't let me. He said, they just doing their job. I did it. I deserve the crime. Got a letter from him the other day. He said, Leland, it's been 13 years. He said, you're my spiritual daddy. Been 13 years since I've been saved. He's still praising the Lord. Still doing, serving God in prison. I've seen some folks, and just some of you in here, there are people in here that you weren't worth killing. In fact, there's a whole bunch of you like that. And Jesus Christ come into your life. I'm glad I didn't know Craig Smith when he was lost. I'm sure glad I know him now. I thank Rick Cockney. Rick is one of them guys that if he tells you the cat's hungry, you need to feed it. I see people that just, and Corinth had that kind. Corinth had more problems. And they had a lot of them in the church. But Paul called them saints because they trusted Christ. And they had accepted this message that Paul talked about in foolishness. So I want to, we're going to start reading at verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The word foolishness appears seven times in the New Testament. Six of them are in 1 Corinthians. Four of them are in chapter 1, one of them in chapter 2, and one of them in chapter 3. We're going to talk about three of them tonight. Here's the first one. He said, for the preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness. They're the ones that will laugh and mock and say, how stupid can you get? And when they hear about the cross, they'll have no respect. It's foolishness to them. But they're the ones, Paul said, it's foolishness because they're perishing. They don't know the Lord. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then in verse 19 it said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the, here's the second use, foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Foolishness. First, he said the preaching of the cross is foolishness. How could a Jewish carpenter be crucified on a Roman cross and take anybody to heaven? That doesn't make sense, does it? That's why the world said, that's foolish. That won't work. That won't work. Can't do that. See, everything centers around the cross. That's why the election is not going to solve anything. They're ignoring the cross. Everybody's talking about the problems, but they're really not. Do you know what the problem is? It's a three-letter word called sin. That's always the problem. And right in the middle, you know what the middle of sin is? I. We can trace it right back to you-know-who. Problem is sin, and the only answer to sin is Jesus Christ. And we talk about all these other problems that we want to, And we can cuss the Republicans and then cuss the Democrats and then cuss both of them. But the truth of the matter is that nothing's going to happen until we get to the cross. Nothing that worthwhile is going to take place. We're just spitting in the wind. Nothing is happening. The preaching of the cross is foolishness. That doesn't look like a winner. It's a cross. Christ just hung up there bleeding. He dies on that cross. That's not a winner. Wait a minute. That's foolishness. Then he said in verse 21 that the foolishness of preaching. Now, not to preach in the foolishness. I've heard a lot of that. Probably been guilty a bunch of it. But he said the foolishness of preaching will save him. This amazes me. That somebody can stand and preach this word, and somebody can have their direction turned from hell to heaven over some dummy like me reading or quoting or talking about this book. The preaching, the foolishness of preaching. You'd think that surely we'd have to have some kind of qualifying test. Surely we're going to need some kind of acceptance standards. Are surely people are going to have to prove it to have some kind of endurance, right? You mean to tell me that just somebody gets up and says, God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, and some guy that heard that believes that, and he's going to go to heaven just like that? Are you trying to tell me that? That's not right. That's too simple. That, it's got to have more to it than that. Surely he's going to have to go to seminary or something. It's just, God made it simple. And we still miss it. Isn't that fascinating? We keep trying to make it hard. Paul, in writing to in the second book of Corinthians, he said, I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from the simplicity that's in Christ. Every now and then somebody said, boy, he's a deep preacher. And I wouldn't know a deep preacher from a steep preacher. I don't guess. But the simplicity's in Christ. Very simple. That's why that he said it's foolishness to so many people. That can't be right. You mean if I put my trust in a person I don't know that I've only heard out. You mean I got to take your word for it? No, you got to take God's word for it. When man gets a hold of it, see, man's wisdom will just ignore sin. Man's wisdom don't want to face immorality. We had a football coach that got convicted for molesting boys. And you never heard such quietness. If you can hear quietness out of the gay crowd. All of a sudden, hey, morality is something we don't want. Well, who's to say what's right or wrong? Everything is relative. No, everything isn't right. See, the Bible is one of those things that calls black, black, white, white. And sin is sin. Evil is evil. Good is good. And there's not any gray in here. And people hate that. See, cut me a little slack. I'm not as bad as other people. That's one of the reasons that I liked Craig. Because I'd go around and tell everybody I'm not as bad as Craig. He helps my self-esteem every time I get around. Because every one of us, Everybody we're with, we either think we're better than they are or worse than they are. Think about that. See, we keep judging ourselves by ourselves instead of facing that you'll be compared to Jesus Christ. He's the judge. Hey. And he said the foolishness of preaching saves those who just simply believe. You don't have to qualify. You don't have to meet certain standards. Just simply believe. But see, how we believe is how we act. If you believe that your parole officer is going to catch you in something, you won't do it. Some of you sat down and figured out the rotation on UAs. Yeah. But if you believe they're going to UA you, guess who's going to be clean? Hey. I get it. It's kind of humorous. Somebody said, well, the reason I didn't show up because I couldn't pass the UA. And I said, and you thought your parole officer didn't know that. You thought they would never grasp that. We treat some people like they can't come in out of the rain. But God has made it just so simple to face these things. And He can save us. It's a sin problem. And it's a Savior solution in Jesus Christ. The last thing He said here was He said, we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. The Jews were looking for a king to deliver their nation. To bring them out of the clutches of the Roman Empire. And make them a nation and bless them and give them things. Most of us today are looking for a God that'll give us a lot of money. See, we're kind of hunting the big American Express in the sky type of thing. We want God to give us something. What was it? Some guy said a lot of people think God is just a giant rabbit foot. He's just real lucky. Yeah. The Jews looked up at Christ and said, He's the Savior. He said, if you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Save yourself and others. You know what? If He comes down from a cross, He can't save anybody. Only way He saves is because He stayed on that cross and paid mine and your sin. See, we deserve to be there. We are guilty. And this whole crowd, most of this crowd, cannot deny that because you're on the computer. See, goodness. We're there. All they got to do is run the computer on us. Uh-huh, I see. Now, but they wanted somebody with power. They wanted the white knight. But Jesus came as a Savior before He came as a king. Because you'll never get to know Him as king if you don't know Him as Savior. And the Jews couldn't understand that. The Greeks, on the other hand, they were the thinkers. They didn't know anything about the Jewish religion. But they knew this. How in the world could some guy die and bring life? Do you realize that we all live off death? You know what you just got eaten? Got through eating tonight? Yeah, somebody killed some beef, didn't they? Yeah. That sufficed us, and we live because of death. Because of what Jesus did, because He died. Now let me say that He didn't stay dead. It took Him 3 days to pay the bill. And the next time you see Him, He'll be with that crown on. The next time you see Him, He'll be the king. Next time you see him, he'll be the judge. He's not going back to that cross. We still preach that cross because that's where you've got to come to. Because that's where he paid our debt until we get the sin problem solved. There's nothing else to solve. Once that's solved, then now we can see him as king. And he can rule our lives. Somebody said, surely, Leland, there's more to it than that. Surely there's got to be more to it than that. I'm glad there's not. Because if there'd been any more to it than that, I'd have never gotten saved. I tried. I can remember trying. My mama took me to church. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was rotten as I could be. I'd walk down to the front. I was baptized. But within a week, I'm back doing the same old thing. I was right at 20 years old when the message got through to me that Jesus Christ died for my sin. I knew he died. But I thought he died just as a martyr. I thought them the bad guys killed a good guy. I didn't know that he did that to pay my debt. And a drunked up condition, 3 o'clock in the morning, I talked to a young man that lived across the hall from me who had had polio. And he quoted those verses to me. I tried to get him to argue. He just quoted verses. He wouldn't fight fair. And for the first time in my life, it began to dawn on me. I remember going in there just laying in the bed. Lord, you died for me? And within the week, I remember going to a service that I promised God I'd go with him to. Took two buddies with me so none of us would do anything out of hand. Wouldn't get emotional. And all through that service, I cannot tell you what that preacher preached on. I don't have a clue. All I know that those verses kept coming home that that young man had quoted to me. That Jesus Christ died for my sins. And that night I made a commitment. I stepped down that aisle. He, I said, you want to join a church? I said, no, sir. He said, you want to be baptized? I said, no, sir. He said, you want to rededicate your life? I didn't have one to rededicate. I said, no, sir. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I just got to get right with God. But you know what? When I started down that aisle, I looked across. And one of those guys that I'd come with me that's supposed to protect me was walking down the other aisle. And a little bit the other one came. Both of them are gone now. But I'll get to see them again. So simple. Jesus Christ died for you. To pay your debt. He arose again. I know it sounds foolish. I know it sounds like foolishness. And God would use the foolishness of this world to confound the wisdom of this world. Because God in His foolishness is wiser than the wisdom of this world. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. You're here tonight. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You might be like I was. You may be a church member. You might have been immersed. You might have never gone to a church. I don't know where you are, but you and God do. And tonight, you say, I want to know this Jesus. I want to have that joy, that peace. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to live like I'm living anymore. I want to see some changes. I want some joy and some peace. I'm going to pray in a moment. Would you slip up your hand and say, pray for me, Leland. I need that. I want that. Would you just slip your hand up real quickly? I see your hand. I see yours. Yes, at the back. Yours. Slip it up and put it back down. Yeah, I see yours too. Anyone else? Real quickly. Real quickly. I see yours. Yes. Our Father, there's some people here tonight that could leave here on the way to heaven who came in here on the way to hell. You do that. You do that. It is as foolish as that sounds, as simple as that sounds. You do that for them if they'll just trust you. They'll just believe tonight that you can do it. Father, there's others. There's some Christian people here tonight that just keep fighting you. Just keep running. I don't know what they're running from. They may not even know. But they don't want to come under your authority. They want to go to heaven, but they want to live their own life. Father, I pray that you'd help them come home tonight. I also can tell them that there's no joy like surrender to you. I guess this is the only thing in the world, Father, that by surrendering we get victory. By surrendering we win when we do it to you. So, Father, help them to do that as we sing. Would you stand your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, as Brother Charles sings on the very first verse. I want you to come. Whether you're coming to rededicate your life or whether you come to trust Christ, we'll have somebody here to pray with you. Come on, right now.
Just as I am.
Come on.
Without
you lifted your hand. Would you come? Come right on.
But
come on.
That your blood was shed for me.
Yes. Y'all come.
Jesus, how bid me come to of God I come, I come, just as I am
and waiting not. Come on.
And waiting not to raise.
What does God want you to do?
My soul
God, I come. Charles is going to sing one more verse. No one comes after this. We're through. People are praying. People are trusting Christ. Would you come? Now's the time. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Would you come?
With many conflicts made, many doubts, yes, all I feel within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for those that have come tonight. Some are still praying. We don't want to hurry them. We want to give them all the time they need. We thank you for meeting with us. Father, help us to realize that every time we meet, every time we get together, that we have decisions to make. Father, the truth of the matter is, probably this particular group will never be together as we are tonight. Next time we meet, some will be absent and there'll be somebody new. Father, thank you for meeting with us. And Father, we pray for those that should have put their faith and trust in you tonight and didn't. Father, I ask you to give them one more chance. help them to make that decision, even before they leave here tonight, that there's a lot of people, Doug and Brother Johnny and Rick, and folks that they can talk to, visit with, pray with, that'll help them. So, Father, I pray you'd bless us, not because we deserve it, but because that's what you do. Bless your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.